My name is Harold Kimball, and with my partner Eleanor Mermelstein are oral history interviewers for the Pittsburgh section of the National Council of Jewish Women. Today is Sunday, November 13, 1983, and we are interviewing Libby Rosenberg. Libby, would you please tell us your address?
2721 Mount Royal Road, and that's in Pittsburgh 17, Squirrel Hill.
Pennsylvania, right?
Pennsylvania.
Very good. My partner, Eleanor, has some questions about your background, Libby. Eleanor?
Mrs. Rosenberg, or Libby, may I call you Libby?
Indeed you may, everybody does.
Let us begin our interview by hearing about your early family life when you were growing up.
Well, first of all, I had to be born, didn't I? And I was born in Toledo, as were my two sisters. My father at that time was the cantor, or chazan, at the synagogue there, and they lived there for 15 years, and then he came to the Tree of Life synagogue, which at that time was down on Ross Street, and they called it the Fink Shul. And so then he was the cantor there for 40 years. Mm-hmm. He retired when he was 75. And what else did you ask me?
What was your father's name?
My father's name was Joseph Levine.
Joseph Levine.
Uh-huh.
That's very interesting. Can you tell us something about your family? You mentioned two sisters.
Yes, I had two sisters, and we all came here. I think it must have been about 1902, but I'm not sure. I have it someplace.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on Vicaroy Street, mm-hmm. and that's up by what used to be called the Holy Ghost College, and which is now Duquesne University.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there because it was within walking distance of the synagogue. And my father walked to the synagogue all his life, even after they moved out to Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went through, I don't know how many rabbis, but he was still the cousin.
Uh-huh.
And then we lived on Vicaroy Street for quite a number of years. I have some very beautiful memories of Vicaroy Street. It was mostly a Irish Catholic neighborhood. There were a few Jews, but mostly because of the seminary. The Holy Ghost College was a seminary for priests.
Mm-hmm.
And around the holiday season, my father's choir, you know, around April,
yes.
around
uh-huh.
Easter, they would be rehearsing. At that time, we had street lights, and with children would be playing around the corner light, you know, when the light came on, we all whirled, hooray!
Uh-huh.
But what was beautiful about it was we lived in a house, and the windows, of course, were wide open because there was no air conditioning at that time. And down in the church, which was, there was two little apartments up from the church, and the church was at right angles to our street.
Mm-hmm.
And at the holiday season, my father would be rehearsing his four singers in the choir, and down in the church they would be singing the Gregorian chant,
oh.
and the lights would go on, and the kids would be playing around, and at last, all these years, there's a beautiful thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
The voices would kind of fuse outside, you know,
yes.
the Catholic
mm-hmm.
and the Jewish. They sounded pretty much alike, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Had your parents been born in America?
No. They were born respectively in Grodno.
What country is that?
That was Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was born in a little place on the border between Poland and Germany, mm-hmm. and was called Fürstadt. And that's about all I know mm-hmm. about that. And I never was too interested in what went on there. And they did keep in touch with their parents and so forth.
Can you tell us something about the atmosphere of your early home life? I'm assuming it was a very religious home life that you had?
My mother didn't, she said that she wasn't very religious when, or pious when she got married, but being married to a chazan, she went to the extreme, and he had her go to the extreme. He wouldn't let her carry an umbrella on Shabbos. And she had to wear her handkerchief tied on her wrist because of the Shabbos. And then he became rather free. And of course he had to be careful because he was praying for all these people. But she never did. She stayed very pious.
Was your background Orthodox
yes.
or conservative?
It was Orthodox.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, when he came to the Tree of Life, that was known as a conservative synagogue.
I don't know whether, I wanted to look that up. I don't know whether that was, whether there was conservatism then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, maybe not, but that would be interesting to find out.
I'm not sure, but mm-hmm. I think that they wore hats.
I think you're right.
Can you tell us something about your early educational background?
I went to the Forbes School, and I was a real smart little girl, and that's about all I can tell you. If they had gangs, you know, the girls would fight each other, and I was a coward. And we'd have our older sisters fight for us. So I said, my sister, because she could beat me up, I thought she'd beat the other girl's sister up. It worked. They all came up to Vigoroy Street, the whole parade of kids followed, and my sister came out, and she landed on her face.
Then from Forbes School, where did you go?
From Forbes School, I went to Fifth Avenue High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then one summer, a friend of mine was taking examinations to be an assistant in the Carnegie Library. And she said, why don't you come too? So I went too. And I loved books.
Mm-hmm.
When the family would be sitting playing cards, I'd be sitting with my feet in the oven reading. And they'd have such a good time, you know, because they'd be talking to me and I'd be so absorbed. And I'd look up and there they were laughing at me. But so I took the examination and she failed and I passed. And I had no more idea at that time of ever being a librarian. Which I never was really a librarian. It was vacation time, and I enjoyed the thing, and I decided, I guess it was the year I graduated, 1916. I decided I would go through with it and become I think they called them, what do you call them?
Librarian?
And I didn't become a librarian right away. Oh, it's like an internship.
And was this with Carnegie Library?
Yes, all the libraries were together, mm-hmm. except for the North Side.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I got to like it so, and I thought being librarian, or working in the library, I thought was being a librarian, that I would get so much time to read, but no, you don't get much time to read when you're in the library. And I learned some very bad habits. Because when we'd have staff meetings, we'd have to review books. So every week you had to review some of the new books. So you couldn't read decently at all. You just had to learn to skip.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bad thing for
mm-hmm.
me. And then I got to love it anyway, and the women I worked with, and then they, apprentice. I was called an apprentice.
Oh, yes.
And then I was sent around to the different, I've worked in almost all the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided, I'm not going to go to college, I'm going to stay here. Which wasn't very smart of me or of my parents. But I would take university extension courses and wear shoes. Librarians wore the same kind of shoes in those days. Well, that's about all I can tell you about that.
Can you tell us something about how and when you first met Sam Rosenberg?
Yes, I met him, but I didn't know him. I was working in the Wiley Avenue branch of the Carnegie Library at the desk. And he told me afterwards that he would tear up his card and come and tell me he needs a new card because he lost his old one. And I never noticed him. I never paid any attention how many times he came, got new cards. And I didn't know till after we were really did know each other. Mm-hmm. So then we didn't get to meet. He went to the Forbes School, but he was a little bit ahead of me. And all his friends knew me and knew him, but we never met when we were going to school. Mm-hmm. And years later, a cousin of mine was being married and they were giving a party for her. They lived up on the bluff, and her older sister had met him and liked him very much, but she didn't. He was too young for her, and I think he didn't have enough money for her. Then they told me about him, and I'd never known an artist before. And I'm sitting on the porch, and up dashes this handsome fellow, and goes up two steps at a time, you know. It's the first memory that I have of him, with a little mustache. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met him, and we liked each other right away. But I think he was involved with somebody at that time because the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse was playing and he was going to call me when it came and we were going to have another date. We went out to the Willows. Am I talking too long?
No, no.
This is
very interesting.
Is it?
I like it.
Well, we went to a place that was very popular then. This is taking in a lot of old Pittsburgh.
And how?
Well, my old, and it was called the Willows, and it was a real nice place where you ate and you danced, mm-hmm. and I guess if you went early enough, you could swim too. It was on the river.
It was in Oakmont.
Yes, I think it was. Oakmont, mm-hmm. and it was very popular with the young people, and so we just were together all evening. We got to know each other pretty well. And then he was going to call me to go to see Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And he never called me. Because, as I said, I didn't know this till later. He was involved with somebody else. And I don't know what happened that he ever came back. He did the dirtiest trick on this other boy. I had a date to go up the river with him. We were going up to the Willows, and he was going to take his sister. He was going to take his sister and the man, I've forgotten his name, and even if I did know, it would be very poor taste of me to tell, wouldn't it?
Right.
He's dead. Mm-hmm. So, then when it came time to go home, Sam said, you take your sister home and I'll take Libby home.
Oh, now, well,
that's the only bad thing he ever did in all his life. I mean, ever since I knew him, he never did a dirty trick like that to anybody else. So that's when he took me home, and then I never heard from him. And he told me after we were engaged, that he had tried to get me, and he got on a busy line. You know, they used to do that a lot. We had party lines. Mm-hmm. Somehow or other, he heard me talking to a date, and this fellow wanted to make a date with me, and I obviously didn't want to because he'd say, how about Thursday night, or how about Friday night? Well, I just couldn't. And Sam's story is that he said to himself, I'm not going to call that girl. She's not going to make a monkey of me like that. Now, that's his story. So maybe that's the second thing he told me that was bad. Anyway, we did, I don't know how we finally got together.
Well, how long did your courtship last after you did get together?
Well, we knew each other for 6 years, mm-hmm. but I guess during that time we weren't dating. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. And, oh, after we came home from that that picnic up the river,
yes.
then we were, after that, we were good friends again. I guess mm-hmm. the other girl left.
And when were you married?
We were married December the 24th, 1922.
In
memorable
Pittsburgh.
Day.
You were married in the city of Pittsburgh?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where did you set up housekeeping?
Well, we were very poor, both of us. I had more money than he had. I was working for Gulf Refining. Oh, the war came along.
And was this the First World War? 1922.
1916.
Yeah. It was on for 2 years,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, that was the First World War. Mm-hmm.
No, the First World War was 1914. Was the First World War, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Gulf Refining Company, up until that time, had never employed women. And, I think I won't say that, I was the only one like me. In the, and I had never worked in an office, and I'm still a very bad business person, I'm very bad. Can we cut some of this out?
They can edit it. But if you feel like saying that they never hired Jews, that's perfectly all right.
Are you saying that on me?
Yes, because that's a fact. And I think historians would want to know that there was a period when Gulf didn't employ Jews.
I hate to get
you don't feel good about that.
Feel
well,
good.
They can erase that, see. So
oh, they can.
Well, our committee listens to this.
I wish they would cut it out.
Okay.
They will. Mm-hmm.
What's the use of dragging things out like that mm-hmm. in time? Everything's okay now.
Yes,
they even have
but
officials.
It's part of our history, I guess, is the way you have to look at it. We've made progress, don't you think, just between us.
So then after you were married, where did you...
Oh,
was your
so
first
then
note?
What did we have to do? My parents were very upset. My father, like, he met him in the park to ask him for my hand. And we were very kosher about everything. And my mother was very unhappy. And she never heard of marrying a man that made pictures. So, and as I said, we were very poor. So we had a very good solution. Sam had founded the Irene Kaufman Settlement Art School. And he's very highly thought of there. And at that time, there were settlement houses. And that was a settlement house. And the staff lived on the premises. Mm-hmm. So we lived at the Irene Kaufman Settlement, next door to the old building. The new building wasn't built then. I think the people's name was Obernauer, that lived in a great big house. And they sold it to the settlement. And so some of the staff... we called it the family, lived there. Mm-hmm. And so we lived there, and I think Sam must have made about $95 a month, and we had to pay combined $70 a month, rent and food and laundry and cleaning and everything. But in addition to that, we had to give so many hours of volunteer work. And Sam was teaching downtown at a school, and he was teaching at the settlement, and he didn't have time to give volunteer work. So I gave 30 hours a week of volunteer work. Some of it was in the social service department. And it was in the social service department. Sometimes I'd have to run the switchboard. Do you know Dr. Benjamin Perlow?
I've heard the name.
He was a dental student
yeah,
at that time.
Dentist.
He married Anna Lau.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he got a day off, so they put me on the switchboard, and I almost broke all the eardrums. And yeah, every time I was supposed to push the ring, I'd ring in their ear. So they always remembered that. Mr. and Mrs. Teller were the head. Mr. Teller was the head, and she was head of the girls. And so some of my work was club work, and some was visiting with Heldy. Now, what else do you
I mean? Understand you have one son.
Oh, and is he a son?
What is his name and where does he live?
He is Dr. Murray Z. Rosenberg, and he's a pathologist, the director of a laboratory in Willimantic, Connecticut, and he lives in Storrs, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. He's interested in art, too.
And does he have a family?
He has a family of two children, and one is a doctor now in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina, and the other is a daughter in Vienna.
Oh, how interesting.
In her junior year at, what school?
They are both MDs?
No, she's not an MD. She's interested. She went to study music for the for 6 months, I think, and then they were supposed to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But she went and she studied music and she didn't want to come back. So she went to the University of Pennsylvania and mm-hmm. she was admitted to the conservatory.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wanted to become a singer. We hadn't expected that.
Where did your son get his education?
Well, he had very prestigious education. He had his undergraduate work was at Harvard, and then he was drafted into the Navy, and he made the 612, they called it. There was a 612 program in the Navy to have the boys finish their school,
mm-hmm.
and so he went. He was in the Navy for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then they got him into medical school. I don't know whether he'd have gotten into medical school if
what
he
medical
put
school?
To Yale.
To Yale Medical
yeah.
School.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then where did he do his training after he finished medical school?
Where else? Mount Sinai, New
mm-hmm.
York, and then he was. Going to be an internist, and he passed the boards and everything. He decided he would rather go into pathology, so
mm-hmm.
he's been a pathologist,
mm-hmm.
and now he's the director.
You mentioned that he had an artistic background.
Well, he was born to an artist, and you know, when he was about 8 months old, we have a picture of him Sam painted with a pencil already. And he admired his father very much.
Mm-hmm.
He still, he went to the Saturday classes at Carnegie, both at the Institute. I feel like I'm talking too long.
The reason we don't make too many comments is because you're interesting, and I don't want to keep saying, that's great. We
is that
know
turned
it
off?
Is. No, but see, we're being real casual about this.
I see. And they're going to edit it and everything.
Probably, but the main thing is this is really a happening and it's going straight on here the way it's happening.
Uh-huh.
I think that's nice. Any yes. other questions? You still have time, Eleanor.
When
I'll
son
give you
was
notice.
Married, did he marry a Pittsburgh girl or somebody that...
he married a girl that he went to kindergarten with.
Really?
That he went all through for a Folks, Frort, no, what school was it? Frick School.
Mm-hmm.
Frick School together, and she was a social worker. She went to PCW, and then she went to New York, and Murray was in New York at Mount Sinai, and a very good friend of hers had a mother at Mount Sinai, so Arlene had to go and see her, of course, and I don't think I'd never asked them. I don't think they were sweethearts when they went to school. I said to him, why don't you date that little Arlene Levinson? She's so cute. And her mother used to dress her so charming. She was a beautiful child. And he'd say, hey.
And now she's your daughter-in-law.
She's my daughter-in-law. And she doesn't like me to tell that story, so maybe you'll please edit it.
What is the atmosphere in their home? Do they follow the Jewish religion?
Not closely. Mm-hmm. No. They don't.
Mm-hmm. But they do belong to a temple, I'm assuming.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
When Murray was a young man, young boy, I should say, was he bar mitzvah?
No. He didn't go to Sunday school because he wanted, it was on Saturday, and he wanted to take art. He was a very independent mm-hmm. child. And my father lived with us for a while. And he saw all the, I tried to, you know, keep as kosher as I could, and we observed all the customs, but they're very casual.
Well, Harold Kimball, my partner, has many questions to ask you about Samuel Rosenberg. Would you now like to do that, Harold?
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're getting near the end of the tape, and I thought it would be a good idea to just ask a few casual questions, and then we'll come to the end of the tape, and then I'll turn it, and then we can go in depth to talking about your husband. Right now, is there anything else you'd like to say about yourself that we haven't asked you about?
No.
You've covered everything that was important, right? Well, a little bit about your present situation, if you want to discuss it. You told me about the chimney not working. Now, is there anything else you'd like to remark about?
That,
well, not that that's a historical fact. I'm just trying to put you at ease. You can talk about anything you like. We only have a few more feet of tape, and then I'm going to turn it over. I guess we've covered everything, right?
I think so.
I noticed you have no pets, so you don't have to worry about feeding a dog or feeding a cat.
No, I love animals. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But Murray, our son, is allergic to any fur, hairy creature.
Right.
And he can't. We could never have. We did when he was little, and we didn't know.
I see.
And he would get hives, and we didn't know it was because.
Well, I have a question to ask. Do you have an artistic background?
No.
Aside from having developed
yes.
a love of art because of your husband?
No, I don't. Sam thought I was very good. He said I was as good as his best students, but that's just love.
Did you take some classes from him?
Well, at one time I did, which we decided was not very good business. But that was before the baby was born, and I didn't like to stay home all night. But that was a very short time, and I just assumed not talk about it.
I heard you were quite a cook, that you used to...
I used to be.
Yes.
Not now. So
well,
don't expect me to invite you for a great dinner.
You're getting out of practice, I know. But Sam had you to cook those great meals for him and look after him,
yes,
isn't that true?
Yes, yes, yes.
And that made it much easier for him.
Well, he liked to eat very much.
Okay, it seems that the end of this tape is being drawn out so long. We're getting right near it, and I'll soon be turning it. And all I'm doing right now is filling in. I wish you could fill in a little.
If you have that much time. We moved here in 1952. And we've loved it Very, very, very much.
Oh, I meant to ask you this. This house was already built?
This house was built in 1940. It was 12 years old.
I see.
It had one, two, three owners before us in 12 years. Wow. And I'm here 31 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've covered everything, and now this is the end of the tape, and I'm going to stop it here and turn it over.